The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, July 14th, 2013, for those listening live, and it's whatever your time is, if you're listening to the recording. In either case, I'd like to welcome you to the 100th program of Exposing the Masters Within. And wow, who would have thought? I can't say that I had a prediction that I would continue doing these for 100 programs, but here we are. So I want to thank each and every one of you for aiding me in co-creating this, whether you're here for the first time today listening or whether you've been listening to all of them all the way through or something in between. It is my honor to be here offering this and co-creating this with you. So, if you would take a deep breath. And let's jump in here to how we typically start, which is by opening up the connections. And I'd like to, before we jump right into that, just offer you this thought that every time we do this, you are stepping into a greater degree of empowerment. Let me explain that. As you know, if you've done this before, as you'll know if you do this with us for the first time today, what we do here is we are opening up connection to spiritual experience more fully each time we do this. We're opening up to community, spiritual community, energetic community each time we do this. And that has an effect that is ongoing. It's kind of like, oh, going to the gym to work out. Each time we would go to the gym, what we're doing is building on the strength that we had coming in to expand that. And that's such an important concept for me on this pathway of mastery. It's not that we have to do the same tool forever in that disciplined way to get that result that we're desiring, which is full empowerment, full mastery, full self-realization. But each tool that we use that helps us to open is working out our spiritual muscles, working out the spiritual pathways. And so I just wanted to point that out here. I don't believe I've ever said that specifically. Another thing about this connection that we do at the beginning of each of these programs is that in this opening, we are also rebalancing our energy because we're bringing in more of our own divinity. We're bringing in more of the energy from the earth, from our guides and angels, and connecting with those energies that help move us forward toward mastery as we get to the final three pieces and work with the mass consciousness. But each time we're doing that, by bringing in those other vibrations, we're actually giving ourselves a healing. And so I think that's just a nice thing to have awareness of as we step into this. So let's, without any further ado, go make those connections, open to them more fully, and get our spiritual workout for the day. So if you're listening now, you don't have to go to the gym today, at least the spiritual gym. All right, so As we step forward, first just allow your breathing to deepen and step consciously into the intention to open up into a heightened experience of your own divinity. Just allow yourself to step into that intention as fully as you're able to connect with, well, however you would like to phrase it or think about it, your soul, your oversoul, your higher self, your spirit, your divinity, your essence. Multiple ways to think about it, to talk about it, but it's all connecting with you as the master that you already are and allowing that energy of mastery to flow throughout your being. So as we continue forward, allow yourself to open to experience that in your physical body, in whatever way your physical body might register that. It might not be at the conscious level. That's okay. And allow yourself to open your emotional body, even if you don't really know what that is. It's just all of the circuitry that you use to experience emotion and to express it, and even to suppress it. And we're bringing in more of the divinity to that aspect. And on up into the mental body. All of your thoughts, this includes the brain, but it's not limited to the brain. All of your thoughts and the energetic patterns and pathways that those thoughts flow to help shape your reality, to help shape your experience. And you're allowing your divinity to flow into those. And let's expand that and allow it to flow throughout what people would call the aura. Allow it to flow throughout the aura. And then to expand even further throughout your energy field. And especially this last portion of your energy field are those points of connection, those channels of relationship that we have. Every relationship we have, every relationship we've ever had, we've had these energetic channels. And that's in truth where the relationship exists, in our energetic interactions. And so you're bringing your divinity into all of your relationships to help take you into a higher, more empowered experience of those relationships. And just allow your breathing again to be gentle and deep, but don't try to force it. Just allow it to deepen. And knowing that this connection, this degree of openness to your own divinity will remain at least this open during the time that we are connecting here through this program, allow yourself, allow yourself to open now to receiving the energy of the divine connection that we have, that you have with our Mother Earth. And so for some people, they open the feet, the chakras in the feet for this, for some the root, for some all three. For some people it's easier to go through the layer of the skin, the whole layer, external of the skin. Whatever works for you. But the intention is that you're opening to receive the energy that I'm going to call love and support that our Mother Earth is offering to each of us in every moment. And so allow yourself to open into that intention and to breathe that energy through you. And again, we'll start with the physical body and expand to the emotional body and expand to the mental body, allowing it to flow throughout your entire aura, filling your aura, allowing it to flow throughout your entire energy field, filling your energy field, and flowing into all of your relationships to ground those relationships, to aid them, to aid you in feeling more empowered and more grounded in each of those relationships, and thereby support the strengthening and empowerment of each relationship. So just breathe that in and through you. And know again that this is going to be maintained throughout the time we are connecting here today, at least at these levels. Through what we do, it might open further. Who knows? And we step on yet again into another intention, and this time it's about connecting to all of our divine support, the friends that we have that are not in physical body right now. And this connection is to our angels, our spirit guides, the ascended masters and teachers and spiritual mentors that are here supporting us as we walk through life in a body, life as a body. And so, again, different people have different pathways of how they feel best able or most comfortable receiving this energy. Some choose to focus in opening the heart, some the third eye, some the crown. Whatever works for you, though, any of those three or anything else that works for you to open to receive. And again, we're going to call this love and support, that's the energy coming to each of us as we open up in this way. And once more, allow that to fill you at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the mental level, filling your entire aura and your entire energy field, and flowing in and supporting as well all of your relationships. So, just be with that, breathe with that, and know that is going to be that is going to be throughout the time we share here today. As we move on to the next opening, and this time we're opening into a community that is in body. And this community is the community of this program, Exposing the Masters Within. And it is connecting especially with the intention that brings us all here, which is the intention for empowerment, the movement toward mastery. And so what we're going to do is open to connect and allow ourselves to receive the support of that mass consciousness, of that intention, that desire to move into empowerment, to move into mastery. And so it's kind of like being out on that surfboard, riding the wave, but we're allowing that wave to come in. Again, open up in whatever way works best for you, but allow this energy to fill and support you on the physical, on the emotional, on the mental, throughout your aura, throughout your energy field, and on into all of your relationships. As you step into a greater ease to be in your empowerment, to feel supported in your empowerment, it will aid shifting your relationships. So again, we step forward toward the next intention, knowing that this connection, these pathways, this energy will be available to us at least to this degree throughout the time. Throughout the time that we are here today. And so allow yourself to open once more into another connection with mass consciousness. Now, this mass consciousness is larger. It is the energy of the mass consciousness intention toward mastery of all light workers on the planet. Everyone who's in a body right now, who has as a conscious intention, conscious desire, that movement toward self-mastery, self-realization, empowerment, ascension, whatever word or phrase works for you. That's what we're connecting with. And again, having that energy come into us, we can connect more with that community and feel the support of that energy. We don't have to walk toward mastery alone. We don't have to do it by ourselves. There are literally millions of others walking these pathways, moving in this direction of empowerment. And so we open to connect and receive that, open in whatever way works for you, but allow this energy to flow into the physical, the emotional, and the mental levels, allowing it to flow as well throughout your aura, your energy field, and into all of your relationships. Once more, taking them to that higher level of empowerment that you're ready for right now. All right. And so we go now to that final connection. And this is a connection with the mass consciousness that is created, that is built, that is held by every single soul that is in a body, that is expressing as a body. And that I like to think of as the energy of desire for improvement, or the energy of knowing and believing in the possibility that things can be better. And this, I personally believe, is that spark that each of us has where we were not completely cut off from our soul or divine energy. And it's that spark that is underneath all of our movement back toward empowerment, back toward mastery, back into the experience of our divinity more directly. And so everybody, every human has this energy and contributes to this mass consciousness. And so let's breathe that in and connect with that and receive that. Because in receiving that, we are connecting with a little bit the divinity of every other person on the planet. And we are remembering, we're cycling back around to where we started, which was opening to our own divinity. But now we're not doing it just in that individual placement. We're doing it as a part of all of humanity, making these choices. So, allow yourself to connect with and receive that energy at the physical, at the emotional, and at the mental levels. Allow it to flow into supporting and filling you in your aura throughout your energy field, and indeed flowing in and supporting all of your relationships and aiding in another way the recognition in each of our relationships that every other person is also divine and every other person has these core desires to improve and connect. All right, so take a couple of deep breaths, and knowing that all of these energy flows are going to remain at least at this level, let's step forward here and get into the flow of the rest of the program. So first thing I want to do is thank all of you who were listening last week or who listened to the recording in the very last minute as I sent it out here a little bit earlier today and who entered into the drawing. And before the program, and I did get an email to this effect, some of you heard this discussion where this was done, but before the program, I had Doug help me out here and choose the number that lets me know who won the drawing. And so I want to first say what that winner gets here. This is the second drawing, and this is for the quickening series that we have just passed the halfway mark. It will be going on throughout this year. And the deepening sessions, the private sessions that go with those group sessions. And the whole focus of this is to expand directly the experience that you can have with your own divinity. So even if you didn't start at the beginning, even if you didn't know I was doing this, it's not too late to join. But the person who won was Pamela Floyd Ogawa. So congratulations to Pamela, and I will be getting in contact with you if you're not actually listening right now or listening to the recording to let you know how you can go about connecting with that. But as I said, anyone else who might be interested in starting that, it's not too late. The recordings are available for all the group pieces, and the private pieces can be scheduled as appropriate. So, thank you again for all those who joined in that drawing. Now, what are we doing here today? What am I doing here today? I'm not sure what you're doing here today. Listening, I guess, definitely. And contributing energy, that connecting that we do at the beginning, really does open up. In a similar way to when I do channeling, it does open up so that this is a co-creative effort. This is not just me saying what I desire to say. I come into these programs without a lot of forethought about what I'm going to talk about and then allow the flow of all of our energies to co-create what gets shared. So coming in here today, the topic that was up for me, there were two topics, but the first one is, this is a celebration. I am celebrating getting to this 100th program. And yet I find that an interesting oddity. Why is 100 more special than 99 or 105? What makes that number special? Well, we can look at it from multiple ways. Numerologically, some would say that this is new beginnings because it's a one. In numerology, you add the numbers, the numerals together, and you get a one here. And then each of those zeros after it adds divine energy to it. So this is a new starting point. It's a rebirthing here as we hit the 100th program. And then there's something about human nature in general that we like these round numbers. Maybe it's because we have 10 fingers and so we get that zero there. It's always exciting. Who knows? Maybe that's why we celebrate 40th and 50th and 60th wedding anniversaries more so than we do, say, 23 or 48. But in any case, it seems to be a part of human nature to choose to celebrate. We have a desire to party to a certain degree. Now, how can I say that? Well, there's evidence of, for one thing, brewing of beer that is a very ancient thing. And in lots of cultures, although typically these kinds of things are done within a spiritual context, there are all kinds of different hallucinogenic plants or concoctions that are used around the globe to get into altered states of consciousness. And so for me, that's part of what this idea of celebration is about, and how, although it's been separated in much of our culture from the spiritual aspect, people want to party just to party. They want to get into an altered state, not to gain something from that altered state, to gain a higher connectedness, but to disconnect from the aspects of their life that they don't like. And so to me, there's in some ways almost a little bit of sadness with the idea of celebration, because the way many people do it is to forget rather than to expand. And so I'm not sure where we're going here with this, but I am here choosing that this is a celebration that not only is celebrating expansion and expression, but is also expansion itself. That's the goal. That's what my desire is for this program every week. That it support expansion, that it support moving into mastery. And so maybe that's the end of what I need to say about celebration, but I do thank you for being here celebrating with me, whether it's, again, through the live program right now or whether it's through the recording right now. Either way, those energetic connections are already out there. You guys didn't know you traveled through time when you joined me for this program, did you? So anyway, let's go on to another topic that was the other one primarily that was in my head as a possibility today. And it comes out of some reading that I've been doing lately, as some of these shows certainly do, in a book called Non-Zero, The Logic of Human Destiny. And for those of you who don't know game theory, I guess that's where we're going to start, but it's not, at least in this book, as dry as it might sound, and it makes a heck of a lot of sense, to me anyway, what is spoken of in here. And so back to game theory. Game theory talks about not games in the sense of Monopoly, although that does come under it, or checkers or chess, but games in terms of interactions that we have with each other. Excuse me. And in that way, in the interactions that we have with each other, in game theory, they talk about zero-sum games and non-zero-sum games. And the easiest way for me to distinguish between the two is that a zero-sum game means Well, some would term it all or nothing or winner take all. Some would term it competition. In other words, for me to win, somebody else has to lose. And that's a zero-sum game. Zero meaning that somebody's going to get zero at the end of it if they're the so-called loser. And then we have non-zero-sum games. Non-zero-sum games mean that I don't need to take anything away from you for me to benefit. In other words, it's interactions that are mutually beneficial. And so that I would put in the category of cooperation. And so basically what we're talking about here in general is competition versus cooperation. And they're two very different approaches to life in general, to the world in general. Now, this book I found fascinating because what he's exploring is the idea, scientific idea. It's definitely written from a scientific perspective, but it's very readable for those of you who might be interested after you hear me talking about it. He's exploring the energies of the evolutionary process. And he makes a distinction between what we typically think of as evolution on the planet, which is the evolution of species, so to speak, that got us from things that we might describe as single cells, but actually even at the beginning were more like enzymes or something like that, all the way up to human form and all the other plants and animals that are around here that we would, or most people would, at least scientifically, describe as having life of some kind. And how we got from those early individual life bits to the very complex life that is easily visible and experienceable here now on Earth. But he does that, and then he also goes into what he calls cultural evolution. How have, once there was this evolutionary development that turned into humans, our particular species, how did we go from those individuals and those early hunter-gatherers to the myriad complexity of relationships and culture in terms of types of expression and societies and different religions, etc.? How did we get from, again, that starting point that in humanity, whenever the first two humans were, how did that turn into what we see now on the planet? And what does that tell us about things? Well, I'm not going to go into nearly all of the details here. Number one, I couldn't. Number two, it wouldn't be useful for you. So the primary things in here that I found fascinating, because on the spiritual path, there's this tendency, well, many people, many of us, and I'm certainly as guilty of it as anyone else, although I'm not judging myself for it, but there's this tendency to want to be only on the side of cooperation. All you need is love, sort of thing. And that's an interesting idea. And I think a lot of people don't go beyond it, but they also don't think it through. What would that mean? Well, part of what it might mean is what he's exploring in this book. And what I think he demonstrates pretty well is that getting to higher levels of cooperation has come in many ways from the pathway of having to deal with competition. And that was a bit surprising to me, that competition has actually spurred the evolution of cooperation. And I'll just give a brief, very limited example here. One of the things that we can look at even just in the last century and see very clearly is the march of technological progress coming out of war. Now, what do I mean by that? There's all kinds of pressure in war. Now, war, by its nature, between the two sides, between the two armies or the two countries that are fighting or the two communities, obviously that is a zero-sum game. There's a winner, there's a loser in most wars, although I guess certain wars we can look at, and Korean War, Vietnam War, although, I think we lost that one. Korean War, kind of went to a draw. But most wars, there's a winner and there's a loser. And yet, in those experiences, within each country or within each community that's at war with another one, there is, or there often is, a tendency to become much more cooperative. Now, I wasn't alive then, but that's part of what they talk about when it comes to World War II. How the whole country, the United States, the entire country sacrificed together, pulled together in community. Not that there weren't slackers, etc., but primarily people were pulling together for that objective, but the objective itself that was drawing them into tightened cooperation also was toward the end of conflict. Well, that, again, it seems so logical, so obvious after I read it, but I hadn't really thought of it that way. And a part of the flow of this book is that there have been these levels or these waves of that kind of conflict expanding the degree of cooperation during it, but then also leading to a state where there could be greater cooperation after it. Now, he goes through history, he goes through lots of history, jumps around a lot, but there is an evolution that we can see between the hunter-gatherers to larger farming communities. Well, farming requires more cooperation than the hunter-gatherer community does. And you get into larger communities, towns, villages, up into cities and city-states, and then countries, etc. And there is both that conflict with the outsider, and there is the greater cooperation or cohesion within the community itself. And one of the flows in this book is that that seems to be going in the direction of a planet-wide cooperative. That if we can manage to avoid or bypass the traps that are here right now, nuclear, winter, chemical, biological warfare, that we are seemingly headed in the direction of that planet-wide cooperation. And one of the things that is presented here is the idea, and this does seem to be happening to a degree, that he doesn't state it exactly like this, but that one of the things that we are doing right now, hopefully, is getting to the place, not so much of wiping out competition or that antagonism. What is it that we're fighting against that draws us together to be cooperative or more cooperative than we were? Is these things like the nuclear proliferation, like the threat of the environmental collapse, things like that that are not specifically other humans that we're fighting against, but situations that we, all humans, would be well served to change. But I found it fascinating that by the end of this book, he actually talks about, well, does this denote, from a scientific perspective, does this denote that there's conscious design, conscious evolution? Does this point to God? That there seems to be this evolution, not only of animals and plants, etc., but this evolution of human culture toward greater and greater cooperation. Not that it eliminates the conflict as of yet, but toward greater and greater cooperation. Does that demonstrate that God's got a hand in this? Well, surprisingly, he doesn't out and out say no. In fact, what he says is that, in my interpretation, my words, not his, that there actually is a little more evidence that is suggestive that there is some kind of a bigger picture operating. Not God, the white beard God, not necessarily how we might perceive of divinity anyway, but that there is seemingly more evidence toward the interpretation that there is something guiding this, whether it's underlying laws that are inherent in the structure of physical reality, or whether it's something we can call God, however we might do that, or goddess. But I found that fascinating as kind of a scientific perspective on what's going on the planet today. And I found that encouraging. That, and it's been going on for a while. Certainly Einstein was this way. But that science is maybe not trying as hard to stop the idea of God or divinity. And I think that speaks to a degree to what we've all been doing in shifting individual consciousness and in moving toward mastery and in seeking to move toward higher cooperation and minimize or remove or heal the patterns that cause us to stay in conflict with each other. That it is having an effect. It is opening things up. And certainly there are people who are in resistance to it, to this transformation toward cooperation, who find great strength in having an enemy, in having a they, whether it's the Democrats and the Republicans fighting, whether it's the the radicals in any particular religion, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, whatever. There are those who are holding on to the old tensions and trying to cooperate only within their own group against the other group. And they're finding great cohesion in that. And so I think one of the things that we have an opportunity to do is to attempt to reach across those divides to find different areas of connection with those who might well be in conflict with us from their perspective. Ooh, the New Agers, the weirdos, the ones who don't believe in Jesus or don't believe in Allah or Muhammad or whoever. But at least at the energetic, at the intentional level, to open up yet more, not saying you're not doing this, but to open up even more to finding the commonalities with other people that our first instinct might be to go, ooh. You know, there are certain behaviors that still get me when someone else does them in my space or in my direction or even around me toward other people that I care about. And every time I can diffuse that energy, move that energy, rather than acting on the impulse toward conflict, using that as an opportunity to come back into the higher perspective, to come back into the connection with the divine and let go of that underlying tendency toward conflict. And so, I'm going to leave off there with this conversation. I had someone email me just before the program began with a suggestion that the guidance that she had gotten was that the the channeled beings really wanted to come in and participate here today. So I'll give them a little more time than perhaps I typically do. But before I go there, I want to give you how to enter the drawing for next week. Next week's drawing, those of you who haven't listened to the previous weeks, who are hearing this for the first time, next week's drawing is going to be in the email I sent today. I called it the grand prize. And it is what I'm calling 1 year of mystery school. And what I mean by that is you're going to get once a month for 12 months, a 1 hour Oversoul channeling session. And within that context, you can work with whatever you want. You'll talk to whoever shows up, but you can work with whatever you want. But the way I'm thinking of the mystery school is that it's not just dealing with what's wrong in my life right now, but rather what's the current mystery in my life? What am I really desiring to figure out that would help me empower myself right now? Another way to look at this is that it would be spiritual independence study. throw that out if you worry about school. In fact, throw out the idea of mystery school if you're worried about the idea of school, if that does not appeal to you. But that, for those of you who've worked with me in that way, done the channeling, you know I work on a sliding scale. If you were to pay just the bottom of the sliding scale for those 12 sessions, the value for this would be $1,300, more than $1,300. And if you were to pay the top of the scale, or I have people who pay over the top of what I publish as my regular scale, the value is up to $4,800. I have at least one client that pays $400 an hour for those sessions. And that's because she can. It's not that you're supposed to. but that's the range of value. So it's a very potent thing. I'm very excited. I do have clients that I work with on a regular basis who essentially approach it this way. They do the work not because they've got all these things wrong that they're trying to fix, but because they really are seeking to explore the edges of their life and of their consciousness and take the next step and go further. So as with the previous 2 weeks, what I'm going to have you do to enter the drawing is to send me an email. And in the subject line of the email, I want you to put three things. The first thing is exposing. So I know that's what you're doing. You're entering the drawing. Exposing dash 100, because we're celebrating the 100. And then I want you to put this phrase, celebrate non-zero. So celebrate cooperation. But celebrate non-zero is what you actually put in that subject line. And that will get you entered in the drawing. And next week we will draw to see who wins. And we also will have a second drawing. Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to throw it in with the grand prize winner. Doug has also told me they're getting T-shirts now at BBS Radio. So they're giving me one of the T-shirts to give away next week. So that's all going to go into the one drawing next week. And so anyway, exposing dash 100 dash celebrate zero is how you enter. And good luck to each and every one of you. I know the exact right person will win next week. So let's go into the channeling now. As always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning and bring in whoever's going to be joining us here today. So, Hello, dear ones. This is Mother Mary come to be with you today. Welcome to the celebration. And we would like to touch in upon that energy and magnify it with you and talk about it further in terms of the power that it has. We definitely guided the one we are speaking through to not talk about this piece so that we could talk about it with you. Because one of the key components to celebration that often gets left out when it comes to some people actually celebrating, is the energy of gratitude. Celebration is truly stepping fully into gratitude. And it is honoring the accomplishment. And if you're truly celebrating, you're not coming from a place necessarily or primarily that is pride. Oh, look at what I've accomplished. Look how good I am. But rather from a place of wonder or a place of amazement. How can this be? How can this be that this has happened? That we have made it here. In spite of all the trials, all the travails, all of the issues that life sometimes has, we made it to here, or I made it to here. Although, if there is an I, there's always a we when it comes to making it anywhere. Even if you're doing something by yourself, you're not doing it by yourself. And we're not speaking about the other beings who are outside of body. We're speaking about those others in body who aided you in all of the learning, in all of the teaching, in all of the past experiences that have led you to the place that you learned enough, you experienced enough, you knew enough to be able to do what you are currently doing. And so we can talk about the line of ancestors and all the energy that you have gotten from your ancestors, literally in the genes. And we can talk about those who were your caregivers in this life and those who were your teachers in this life and those who were your closest companions in your life. Each and every one of them has a part in everything that you do. Because they, in the shared experiences you've had with them, have shaped who you are that allows you to do what you are doing. And so celebration, in truth, another piece of it along with the gratitude. And when you can expand the gratitude to recognize all of those who have contributed to your accomplishment. Think of it like the Academy Awards. When they get up there and they want to thank all of the people who made it possible for them to do what they do. Well, that's true for things that are both of much greater merit than winning an Academy Award and those that are on certain levels of much lesser merit, of much lesser importance. You are who you are, not just because of your efforts, but through the support. And even in spite of the antagonism of those who have been that way, either supportive or antagonistic in your life. And so celebration is celebrating that web that has woven your life path up to this point. And it might be a very good metaphor for you to begin to think of the path, not like a path in the woods through the, over the dirt or the rocks or the tree roots, but rather a path that is more like walking on a woven blanket that is suspended over an abyss. And it is woven from your past experiences. And it is woven from your past relationships. And it is woven from your current experiences and your current relationships and all of the connections you've ever had. Whether they were in the positive polarity or in the negative. And when you can think of it that way, it is like walking across a bridge. And it is not so much the image of the danger of falling off. But if you think of the pathway that way, where it is woven, there is flexibility, there is give in it. There is room for change. As you're walking across, if you were walking across a blanket, it would sink down a little bit where you stepped. But it wouldn't go all the way through. If it were woven well, you wouldn't fall through it. It would also rebound and lift you. And so that piece of the community, the universality of your individual experience, that connection that all of your community has in shaping this moment for you. The more you can open into that, the more you will find to celebrate, the more you will find that gratitude. And here's the key about gratitude. The more you step into gratitude, the more you open yourself to receive more. Often at the beginnings of these programs, that is a piece of what is spoken of when you are making the connections in that process. That when you step into gratitude, you claim, you accept the current experience more fully, which allows you to release it more easily, to open to receive the next. Gratitude is not just about opening to the next, it's about completing what's now by honoring it, by honoring how you got there. Every time you eat something, yes, you can be grateful that the food is there, and you can be grateful to the divine that this food exists for you to eat. But how often have you been grateful to those who prepared it if they weren't immediate family members, shall we say? Or yourself? How often are you grateful for what you prepare for yourself? How often do you thank yourself for taking the time and the energy and the effort, even if it's reheating leftovers or opening a can? Do you thank yourself for that? Do you celebrate that? But you can go back from there. You can find the gratitude for every person who in any way contributed to this food being on your plate right now. So if you're eating out at the restaurant, obviously it's all the people in the restaurant, but it's also all the people in the food chain. And can you find gratitude for those who were the producers of the food, specifically, directly, the farmers, the ones who were gathering it? Can you find gratitude? Do you find gratitude for the plants themselves, or the animals that, or the fish that gave of themselves so that you could partake of this meal? Do you give thanks for the soil that nourished it, and the bacteria that fed it, that broke down the nutrients so that the plants could take them in, etc., etc., etc.? The more you open to this, the more there is to be grateful for, and the more you can open into the future creation of your experiences from a place of empowerment. Because part of what you connect with is that you don't have to do it all yourself. And in fact, unless you go live in a cave by yourself and never have human contact again, you will always have a network of human support. And even if you go live in the cave, as long as you have not gotten to the place where you are living just on breath, you will have plants and or animals and other creatures to give thanks to for allowing you to partake of their substance so that you might live. And the more you find the gratitude for that web, for that network that is supporting you and where you are now, and that has supported you in every moment up until now, the more you can let go of that idea of separation, the more you can let go of that experience of separation, and to begin to connect more and more deeply, moment by moment by moment, with the truth of the interconnectedness of all of creation. And the more you will move then toward that cooperation. Again, not that you will not have conflict. If you are going to eat something and you are not simply eating of fruit, if you are going to eat and live in this body, then something, even fruit, has to give of itself and cease existing for you to continue to exist. And so there is always going to be some energy that you can interpret as conflict. But the more that you choose to step into this awareness of the divine web, the interconnectedness of all things, the more you will perceive the overarching energy of cooperation that exists throughout this reality and across all realities. So, know that we are with you and we've got your back, dear ones. And we celebrate not just this 100th program, but we celebrate your life and whatever moment, whatever experience you are having in this life right now, celebrate it. Step into gratitude and open to acknowledge gratitude in the ripples out from you that, if you allow them to go far enough, encompass the whole world and all of creation. Much love to each and every one of you. Namaste. All right. Thank you, Mother Mary, and thank you again to each and every one of you. Thank you, Doug, and you can go ahead and start those chimes when you're ready. I want to go back over. If you are choosing to enter the drawing for next week, this is what you want to put in the subject line: the word exposing with a dash followed by 100, followed by the dash, celebrate non-zero, and you'll be entered, and that would be wonderful. So, thank you, each and every one of you, whether you've been here for one show or all 100, thank you so much for being co-creators, being part of that creative web with me. If you'd like to do it a little more consciously, feel free to send me your feedback. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, questions, comments, topics you might like me to discuss. You can even send people you might want me to talk to. Eventually, I will get back to interviewing people again, having others on the program with me, guests. In any case, thank you, thank you, thank you. I will be back same time, same place next week. I hope you have a marvelous week in between. I wish you all the best. Much love, my friends. Namaste.